Our study tonight is out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 14, responding productively to angelic conflict under persecution. Persecution, be it overt in the form of physical abuse or covert as in emotional and spiritual abuse, always opens the door for satanic activity as Satan seeks to destroy human beings. It's interesting in the passage that we have tonight, 1 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about," or prowls about, either one, "seeking whom he may devour." The Lord Jesus mentioned this in Luke chapter 22, just before his crucifixion. He was talking to the apostle Peter. And in verse 31, he said, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren." So there's a real danger here of satanic pressure, satanic persecution that occurs when we face persecution, even in the spiritual realm. So that being so, it's imperative that the believer respond productively to the angelic conflict if he faces persecution in any form. And 1 Peter 5, 8 to 14 provides us that instruction as follows. I'd like to look at the passage and then we'll handle it. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother to you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity." That's something like a handshake that we would have today. "Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." Well, the Apostle Peter, who gave us the 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11 instruction, himself had already suffered great spiritual defeat under persecution. When he was charged with being a follower of Jesus, Peter had three times denied the Lord, and that's a defeat that Jesus had earlier predicted would be satanically fueled. I just read the passage in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus predicted that Satan wanted to sift Peter as wheat. And that was fulfilled in Luke 22, 54 to 62, where Peter denied the Lord three times. So it came under pressure. People said, "I know you are with him." And of course, Peter was afraid of being crucified along with Jesus, so he denied Jesus. And that was pressure that was put on him by satanic fueling. So in closing his epistle on handling persecution in a spiritually hostile world, Peter went right after the angelic conflict issue, and he included battling Satan himself, giving us insight on the matter in verses 8 to 11. Well, just as Jesus had once charged Peter and the other disciples shortly before his arrest to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation to deny him, and remember this is what he did in Matthew 26, 40 to 41 when they were going to sleep and he woke them up in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter directed his Christian readers about to face Nero's infamous persecution of them. However, filled with his experience of former spiritual defeat in the angelic conflict, Peter expanded on Jesus' theme, clarifying the specific details we need to follow in fulfillment of Jesus' prayer, that when Peter had been converted after his failure, he might strengthen us. It's interesting, what Peter does in verses 8 to 11 is actually the fulfillment of Jesus' prediction that Peter would strengthen the brethren. And I think that's strengthening specific in regards to angelic conflict. It could be in other areas as well. But first of all, Peter called his readers to start. It's an aorist imperative. Start to be free from every form of stupor. If you want to say stop doing something that is going on, you use a present tense and you use the subjunctive negation. Stop what you're already doing. But if you want to say start something, you use the aorist. The aorist is more like a punctiliar. We don't have an aorist in the English, but it's like, it just focuses on the fact rather than the action itself. So just focus on the fact. So he wanted us to start doing something, and that is to start to be free from every form of stupor, to be clear-headed. It's the Hebrew word, the Greek word rather, napsate. It's actually originally means to be sober from alcoholic intoxication. But he means to be sober from getting distracted, or so that you can't be able to look around you and watch what happens. There are many times I know in my own experience when I have fallen for satanic pressures, I haven't been looking for it. I've been thinking about something else or gotten distracted, not really focusing on the spiritual dynamics or what are involved. So this is the first thing. To watch in an angelic conflict issue starts with attentiveness to what we already see. Now, this is one thing the apostles, the disciples, were not doing. When Jesus came to them and said, "Can't you stay awake?" they were actually sound asleep. If they had been awake, watching, then they would have seen this crowd coming down the hill towards them. And they'll recognize, we got a problem. And hopefully they would have been awake, but they weren't. You could see for several hundred yards that the priests and so forth coming down the trail down to the Garden of Gethsemane, because you could see in full view and where the Gethsemane was located. But they were not. They were not watching. They were not watching out for problems. Second, Peter called his readers to start. Once again, you have an aorist imperative. To start to be alert and to be watchful. That's why he says to be sober, be vigilant, watch. So to watch in angelic conflict issues, though starting with attentiveness to what we already see, we then seek to identify specific movements of Satan in those noticed evidences. What God wants us to do is to watch and see what happens. And when we see satanic activity beginning to occur, identify it as such so we can respond accordingly. Now, I've got an illustration of how this can work. An event actually happened today, and I was able to jump on it early enough that I could see it. Since Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, the believer, upon identifying his presence through watching, is to resist him through standing firm in the faith, holding firmly to the truths of Scripture. Now, how do I know that? If you check 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle John talked about how those in the young men's status, there are three statuses of maturity. There are little children, there's young men and fathers. The young men are the intermediate mature believers. Notice why these young men are strong. In 1 John 2:14, it says, "I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one." Now, the only way a believer is strong is if he's strong in the power of God. So these are believers who understand what it's like to rely upon God and his power. But they are also believers who have a working knowledge of Scripture. You'll notice when Jesus was tempted by Satan, every response that he gave was Scripture. He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, which was very applicable, because Deuteronomy was applicable for Jews once they got into the land of Canaan. Jesus was in the land as a Jew. So he quoted from Deuteronomy. Every temptation Satan gave up, he quoted with Scripture. And that's the pattern for us. We're supposed to be Scripture-based in our mind and our thinking. And Satan can't handle that, because what happens when you quote Scripture, you're quoting God's authority. And God's authority is greater than Satan. If you try to quote your own authority, you'll get, you know, sacked. It's like being in a tag team wrestling match. I used to watch that on television with my dad. And you have four wrestlers. You have two wrestlers on one side, two on the other side. And one would get beat up. He would try to reach out and tag his friend. As soon as he tagged his buddy, then the buddy who had a fresh body could come in the ring with him. What we're supposed to do is tag the Lord, so he's always in the ring. We never, you know, just let him fight it. But if you try to take Satan on yourself, you're going to get pinned, because he's much more brilliant than us. He's much more gifted. He's much more powerful. He's very, very cruel. So the point is, to fight Satan, you let God do it, and you do it by relying on his word. Now, encouraging us to hold thus to Scripture, Peter noted the same afflictions we faced are experienced by fellow believers all over the world, that we should simply join them in this personal effort. You notice verse 9, the last part, he says, "Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." What you're facing is not new. It's not unique to your experience. Believers face it all over the world. And so what we need to do is to recognize that this is par for the course. And God just simply wants us to be clear-headed. He wants us to identify Satan's moves. Then he wants us to use Scripture and rely upon the power of God so that we can overcome all of this. Now, as the believer holds firmly to Scripture, opposite satanic attack, the God of all grace, who called the believer unto his glory in Christ, after the believer has suffered a while under angelic conflict, will achieve some marvelous things in him, as Peter describes in 1 Peter 5:10. First, God will make him perfect. I know the King's English says, after you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect. It actually means, it's the Greek word katartise, which means complete. In other words, God uses satanic attacks. He allows them to occur to mature us. That's how we want, one of the ways we grow, because we learn how to use Scripture. Second, God will establish, the King James establish, but it's the Greek word sterize, which means to confirm. And this means to confirm us in that maturity. God doesn't want us to mature and then to slip back into some form of immaturity or weakness. What God wants us to do is, once we get that level of maturity, to hold on to it. And he is able to make us hold on to it. Third, God will strengthen us. The King James is strengthened, but it's the word sthenose, or to make strong in that maturity. Not only are we mature, not only do we get firmed up in that maturity, but God makes us strong Christians in that. And then fourth, God will, the King James says, settle. But that means to be permanently established. It's the melisoe. It's the same word as using, that means to lay a foundation. It's to lay something in bedrock. So he wants us to be permanently established. So the point is, God allows angelic conflict issues to rise to mature us, to stabilize us in that maturity, and to make us strong so that Satan cannot handle us. This is why John wrote, I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. Namely, you have become strong in the power of God. You've relied upon the word of God so you can handle satanic attack. That's very, very important. Then, moved upon considering this great work of God for the believer, Peter gave a brief benediction, glorifying God for his power to achieve this victory for believers under angelic attack. That's why he says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Accordingly, Peter closed his epistle, encouraging his readers to stand fast on the true grace of God about which he had been writing. So from his own past failure in angelic conflict and the persecution, Peter told Christians to stay attentive to identify satanic activity, then to resist it, standing firm in Scripture truth, encouraged that the suffering faced was typical of what other believers faced. They were to trust that God would mature them in the angelic conflict trial. They would confirm them in that maturity reached, make them strong in that maturity, and make that maturity permanent to the praise of his power and glory. So may we heed this directive of Peter to be victors in the angelic conflict under persecution. An event happened today. I just want to share this with you. When we were back as the board of deacons and the pastor, we were back praying before we came out. And there were just three of us. And Dave, who's our board chairman, normally asks me to pray at the end, and we start off, and Mike's Brunetti started off. Then Dave was supposed to pray, and then I prayed. Well, after Mike prayed, I got caught up in what Mike was saying and everything. So as soon as Mike was finished, I just, without thinking, I went ahead and I started to pray. And partway through my prayer, I recognized, wait a minute, I'm out of order. And I felt kind of bad about it, but I finished praying, and then Dave just cut in, and he went ahead and prayed. Believe it or not, there would have been a time years ago when that event happened, it would have created a conflict and an issue because people were very touchy at that particular time just because of the order of prayer. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to let the devil get his foot in the door in this. So as soon as Dave finished, I immediately apologized. Well, Dave was very gracious. He says, you know, the Lord hears our prayers no matter what the order is. So, you know, he just shook it off, and I'm very grateful for that. And both he and Mike felt the same way. But I felt bad because I wasn't paying attention. I got wrapped up in the thought and got out of order. But that's the type of thing that God wants us to do. I saw immediately this had the potential, and I didn't know that it would, but it had the potential where Satan can use something as simple as that to create a tension that can explode in a month or two. You know, it's crazy. I've seen that type of thing happen. But the point is, once we recognize it, jump on it, you know, and try to solve the situation before it becomes a situation. You know what I mean? Solve the fire before someone, you know, actually takes the match out of the box and lights it and calm it down right away. And I was very grateful. Dave and Mike were very gracious and the whole thing. And here I am. Dave's here tonight, and I can actually talk about it. It's not an issue. It never became an issue. But the point is, we never did let it issue. We didn't want Satan to get his foot in the door on that. So we closed the door down immediately. And, you know, sometimes you make mistakes like that. And all you can do is just apologize. And just, you know, sorry, I made a mistake. I prayed out of order. I didn't mean to do that. Next time, I'm certainly going to work hard to remember when I'm supposed to pray. And we'll solve that situation. Now, that's just a little thing. And I'm sure that there are other issues and there are bigger things perhaps that we've faced and have faced maybe today or even this past week. But the point is, we need to be on the lookout for what Satan is up to, what he can. And he looks for an opportunity like that. And just close the opportunity down before he can get his foot in the door. If he does get his foot in the door, then we have to operate from a different vantage point. If somebody's already been taken captive by Satan and they're already on the warpath, okay, now we have to adjust, we have to shift, we have to look from a scriptural standpoint, we have to wait on the Lord, wait till the ball's hit in our court, and yada, yada, and go from that particular perspective. But God wants us to remember, if these events happen, they're supposed to make us complete, they're supposed to confirm us, they're supposed to make us strong, they're supposed to establish us permanently. God isn't allowing Satan to do this because he wants us to be destroyed. He's allowing this to happen because he's trying to make strong, that we really grow in the Lord and mature. So we need to go with the program and recognize this is happening all around the world and just look to the Lord.